America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm 41 years old. The average male American lives to 78. That means I have, so you 31 years left. Well, no, 37 years left. 37 years left. I have 37 years left. If that sounds like a long time until you say it like this, I have 37 summers left.
Hmm. Yep.
Like what? So what am I going to do this summer? Because I only have 36 after that. And I only have 37 winters left. Okay. What am I going to do this winter? Because I only have that money left. Well, all of a sudden then you become like crunch time becomes really quick.
We are here because we know the outcomes in our lives are within our control. That taking absolute ownership of how we eat, sleep, train, think, and connect with each other is how we'll optimize our health and happiness. That chasing excellence is how we grab hold of what is possible. Our mission is to live on the run, always chasing, never stopping. Greetings.
Hey, Patrick.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Great.
Today, on today's episode, we are going to talk about something that I probably spent way too much time thinking about myself, which is productivity. Personally, something
that's good that you think about it.
I've thought about it a lot because, as you know, but as I'm sure nobody else knows, I spent the last 3 years sort of working for myself, oftentimes by myself in a small room in my house, right? And I learned really quickly after leaving a company that I was with for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, that there are, when you do something like that, when you sort of are released from the constraints, quote unquote, mm-hmm. of you know, a manager of a team of a whatever, you're suddenly thrust, or one of the things that sort of thrust to, you know, into your responsibility is how you spend your time and making sure you spend your time wisely, efficiently, effectively, all that stuff. So all that being said, I've thought about productivity a lot because I've sort of had to, so I don't get lost sort of on my own as I'm sort of navigating everything. So I wanted to talk to you about productivity. I know we've sort of touched around the edges of it in the past, but I don't think we've ever really talked about productivity and using your time and, effectively. So the first thing I want to ask you is just when I say productivity, when you think about productivity, like what does that mean to you? How have you come to think about productivity?
I think that the first differentiator, which took me a long time to figure out, was the difference between being productive and being busy.
Yes.
So when I, in the same role that you were, when I left corporate America and became an entrepreneur and started to run my own business, I confused the two greatly. I think we have talked about this a little bit, but it's a matter of like being busy is kind of spinning your wheels. Mm-hmm. It's you're doing stuff kind of constantly, moving from fire to fire to fire and putting them out.
But and you feel, you can feel good doing
in the moment. You feel really good because you're just, it's an addiction. It mm-hmm. literally is, you can become like, and I went through this where I became addicted. I realized that I need to be more productive. And when you become more productive, you have more free time and you feel like you're not doing enough. And, it's this evil cycle you can get yourself into. So the place I would start in that discussion is the difference between being productive and being busy. Being productive is moving towards your goals. Being busy is just moving. Mm-hmm. You're just doing stuff. So a concrete example of that might be something along the lines of if you're being productive, you know exactly what the most important thing is you should be accomplishing this year, quarter, month, week, and day to move you towards your goals. Being busy is more like, imagine sitting there and spending the entire day really researching, doing a lot of stuff, digging into this whole, maybe you're like writing something or you're researching something to present to somebody, but really it doesn't have any effect long-term towards anything you're doing. You do all this research and then kind of just the next day kind of comes and it goes and it, like you were busy, you were doing stuff, but at the end of the day, nothing you did created anything tangible that's going to move you closer to your goals. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is, you know, I did construction, like both road and residential construction when I was in high school. And you really learn the difference between being productive and being busy there.
I bet.
You can't be busy.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you have to walk away, look back at what you did. That's what's amazing about that profession is every day you walk away, you're like, look at what I built.
It wasn't there before and now it is.
It is. That's being productive. You are productive, like produce active. Like you're actively producing stuff. You're making stuff. Like I think productivity, actually, I think the word stems somewhere along the lines from the produce, actually, like growing crops.
Oh, interesting. Never thought of that.
I don't know that for a fact, but I just kind of thought
it's true now.
Yes.
Because you said it on the internet.
It's internet true. But that to me is what it is. It's like at the end of the day, are you producing things? Are you creating things that are moving towards your goals and not just spinning your wheels?
Right. So obviously the obvious follow-up question to that is how do you know, or how do you set those overarching 1 year, et cetera, goals? Oh,
yeah.
And I know one thing that you've done for a long time, at least for the last couple of years, is something that you sort of, I think you've referred to it as the excellent life organizer or organized. I forget how you put it, but
yes.
Both. And let's maybe walk through that a little bit because I feel like you've mentioned it before and people always ask questions, but we never like stop for 5 minutes and say, well, what does that actually mean? And within that, I know a big part of that is to be able to identify what are the real targets which you're trying to move towards.
Yeah, that's that's the starting spot.
Yeah.
So what I use is a thing that I call the Excellent Life Organizer. It's a thing I created with one of my buddies, and it's just a spreadsheet. It's a shared Google Doc that over the time we've fancied it up a little bit, and there's a scoring system to it. There's categories, and there's you get month to month and week to week points, but the details don't matter as much as the conceptualization of what this thing is. It's a way to begin with the end in mind. And then bring the moment to move you closer towards the end. Now, that's a very political way of saying nothing, right? But what I mean by that is, what do you want out of your life? Really, it's like excellent life organized. So, what do you want? What does an excellent life mean to you? Does it mean that you want to have a life of leisure, be able to live on the islands? Does it mean that you want to earn, you know, $10 million? Does it mean you want to open up multiple businesses? Does it mean that you want to become a professional athlete, a musician? Does it mean that you want balance in your life? Does it mean you want singular focus and be remembered as the great? So you begin with the end in mind. What is the goal that you want? And then from there, you back into it in these step-by-step processes of what is it going to look like in 3 to 5 years? What's going to look like in 1 year? Okay, to accomplish that 1 year goal, what's going to look like this quarter? And to accomplish that 1 quarter, what do I need to accomplish this week and today? Mm-hmm. And basically, the way I've done it and the way I am a balanced guy, I find whatever it is, you're looking for fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be searching for fulfillment in their lives. Meaning when they're on their deathbed, they look back and said, I lived the life I wanted to live. And here's the deal. It's within everybody's grasp. We got to start realizing that we are not living in this box where the goal is not to bump into the walls. The goal is to push the walls and find which ones move so you find an exit over there to get into the life you want to live. We are not mice on a rat wheel or in a maze trying to just like make our way through it. We can pop our head up above and be like, huh, we're in a maze. Let's stop living in the maze. Let's hop over that wall and look at the green pasture over there. Like that's a really empowering paradigm shift of like, we do not need to live inside the confines. It's one of these things that like we've talked about before. People are like, okay, circle of control. Let's find out what we control. Ignore the other stuff. But like the weather, we can't control the weather. It's like, yes, you can. If you hate the weather, move to San Diego. If you hate the sun, move to, you know.
London.
Great. Move to London. Exactly. So you have, there's places that have the weather you want. So like you can control that to a certain extent, right? Obviously, you can't control if a hurricane comes through and you live in paradise, whatever it is. But let's start to realize that you can move and shake and don't be a slave to life. You own your life, take ownership of it and move it around. So this excellent life organizer does just that. So the way I've structured it is I'm looking for balance in my life. So I've kind of divided up into 5 different categories. My saying is I want to Live, love, lead, learn, and leave a legacy. So of each of those five things, I have five measurables that I'm going to accomplish every single week. So something like learn. So in my learn category, I have things like read a research article, meet with an expert, listen to a podcast, things like that. In my love category, it has a lot of things with my family. It's like call my mom and dad. It's be home at 6 o'clock every night. It's have dinner with the family. It's go to kids, all the kids' games. It's stuff like that. It's all these little checkpoints along the way so that make sure that we are putting our first things first so we don't get caught in the busy work, the wheel starts spinning, and we wake up 20 years later and be like, what the hell happened?
Right.
You know, I know I built this amazing business, but my health is in shambles, my relationships are in shambles, and I didn't mean for that to happen at all. It's so easy to get there.
Yeah.
Unless you literally compartmentalize and say, this is what I want out of my life, and this is what I need to do today to get us there.
How would you recommend somebody, regardless of what it looks like, whether it looks like your spreadsheet and whatnot, what was step one in whatever the road led you to? Was it thinking about like, okay, I want balance in my life, and what does that mean? And then continuing sort of down that road, like where would you suggest somebody begin to think about that?
It's a good question because the vehicle doesn't matter, right? Whether it's a Google spreadsheet or empty you create an app or a notebook or a daily stoic journal or whatever, or like on your phone, notes on your phone, it doesn't really matter. What matters is starting and taking action. So the way I would start with this is to begin with the end in mind, and what on your deathbed, you say, I lived the life I want to live because ... What is the ... Because I became famous, because I had a great relationship with my wife, because I raised amazing kids, because I achieved every business goal I had, whatever it is.
Yep.
So figure out what that is and then go at those and then figure out, it's like anything else we talk about in sports. Like when I coach athletes, it's like, okay, we want to perform at our peak. What's that look like? Well, we want to really excel in conditioning, strength, and skills. Okay, inside of those, what are the things that matter? Okay, skills. We have handstand push-ups, muscle-ups, walking on your hands, pistols. Okay, to get those, what do we need? Okay, we need to be able to do 15 unbroken muscle-ups. We need to be able to walk on our hands for 150 feet unbroken. You just break it down in the process of, okay, so if we need to do that on this quarter, where do we need to be for the muscle-ups? Okay, we need to be able to do this. Okay, to get there, what do we have to do today? And then you're able to like check boxes, be like, we did it today.
And that the breaking it down into going from complex to simple, the simple is what sort of the excellent life organized thing is, right?
It keeps you on track.
Exactly.
It's a trackable thing that you can, because what happens is if you don't do that, literally, I mean, it happens to me all the time where like you'd get off track a little bit because you get pulled into a project or you get lazy or because there's this distraction or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, like I haven't called my mom in 3 weeks.
Right.
Like what the hell?
Right.
Well, this
is a check against that.
It's a check against that. Against and you life, just create, basically create over. Yourself a little checklist. Now, here's the thing with the, kind of a caution against that is you can't go with like everything. You can't put everything on this list, right? Because it'll take you forever. You'll never do it.
Yeah.
And I really like the Warren Buffett story about how to become productive, like how to become, achieve your goals. And there's a story about his pilot finally gets the you know, if it's private plane or whatever it was, finally gets up the gall to like, you know, Mr. Buffett, could you give me some advice on how to achieve my goals? And he says, yeah, write down 25 business goals you have for yourself, 25 business goals. So he sends him off. He thinks long and hard about it. He comes back on the next flight. He's like, I created 25 goals. And Warren Buffett says, that's fantastic. Now what you do is circle the top five most important. Sends him off. He thinks real hard about it. Comes back after a lot of hard work and hard decisions, comes back and says, okay, I've circled those top five. And Mr. Buffett, I don't know, I call Mr. Buffett, Warren Buffett, Warren Buffett says, great. Now just, what do you think I want you to do? And he says, I think you want me to really focus on those top five that I said are the most important. Those are my priorities.
Yep.
He said, absolutely. And what are you going to do with the other 20? He said, well, I'll work on those in between in my spare time. And maybe like that. And that's where he cut him off and said, wrong. the other 20 are now, you have two lists. You have the 5 and you have the 20. And the 20 are your avoid at all cost list. Hmm. You can only do so much, right? And I'm a guy with balance. I'm a balance guy. Like, mm-hmm. I want balance in my life. I want it in my, I want to be able to be successful in my family. I want to be successful in my business. I want to be successful in my health, in my relationships, and my coaching, if you call that different than business. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Yeah. Like, I know that's a lot. That's 5 things. To me, to add on 4-5 more of those, like, it's just, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when I talk with people that want to be world-class elite, the best that they ever have, Katrin, you know, if you want to be the fittest person that's ever walked on the planet Earth, literally, that's what her goal is. She's got one. Mm-hmm. Like family takes it back. She's got like, okay, write down the 25. Now circle the 1. Now avoid the other 24 at all costs.
Yeah.
To be world-class, the best ever at what you do, that's what it takes. And that's why people like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, they're not like they don't have the balance in their lives that other people have, mm-hmm. you know. I want that. I don't want to get to the point where I put my head down, work my tail off to create this business, and in 5 years I come up and I'm like, then I'll have my balance and I'll have achieved what I want to do. Yep. Because I know one thing will happen and the other thing might happen. The one thing that will happen is I'm going to get addicted to the grind, mm-hmm. and I'm going to chase achievement. You don't become satisfied when you hit that threshold. You think that's not where your happiness lies. You look for the next threshold. So it's going to be a continually moving target, and I'll become addicted to it. The second thing is the things I sacrifice along the way might not be there in 5 years. Right. So there's that saying, which imagine life is, every role in your life is represented by a ball. Mm-hmm. And you have your faith, your family, your career, your health, and your friendships. Each one of those is represented by a ball. And the goal is to juggle all 5 of those balls in the air at once. What you realize, though, is that all of those balls are made of glass. And if you drop one of them, it may be scuffed, it may be chipped, it may be cracked, it might be shattered, right? And you can't let any of those drop, except potentially the one called career, because that one's made of rubber. And if you fall back off of that, it can come back. But mm-hmm. if you put everything you have into career, everything you sacrifice, and you're only sleeping 4 hours a night, and you're a Silicon Valley guy, right? Yep. And then you're working the 20-hour days, you're eating like crap, you're not exercising, you're not sleeping, you're not seeing your family. You've sacrificed all those other things. Your career's taken off, but you might have shattered all the other ones. Mm-hmm. You might get sick.
You can't put them back together.
You can't put those ones back together. Potentially. Yeah, right. You might not be able to put those ones back together. They might be scuffed. They might be cracked.
They're altered in some way.
Yes. But the career one, like if you lose your job, if you have a career shift, if your business gets sold, whatever it is, you can land on your feet. Mm-hmm. You can figure it out.
Okay. So let's take it from that sort of that high level thinking about what sort of what it means to put first things first into something a little bit, maybe a little bit more practical, a little bit more sort of in the weeds, which is I have seen your calendar before. Mm-hmm. I know that it's something that isn't taken lightly. And I'm curious, how do you think about your calendar? How have you come to think about your calendar in terms of what does each day look like, and how do you make sure that you're doing the things that you need to be doing?
I think I look at my calendar the way a equities trader would look at like trend analysis or mm-hmm. like earnings per share or whatever the hell they look at. It's something that I'm like, I invest my time and energy into. I believe that my biggest responsibility is, as a profession, I think I trade time. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I do. I think and you could substitute energy or effort or focus or whatever you want there, but where am I putting my focus? I like to say, when I'm working with my athletes, whatever we focus on, whatever we put time into, we're going to improve dramatically in that. If we want to get better at handstand pushups, if we focus on handstand pushups, I have the confidence that we're going to get drastically better at that. So it's one of those things like what am I going to put my time into? If I put my time into it, it's going to flourish. It's going to get a lot better. And if I don't put time into it, it's not going to. It's mm-hmm. going to wither and potentially die. Mm-hmm. So when I look at my calendar and I spend a lot of time trying to prioritize what goes in there, I have to start with the most important things first.
Yep.
So tactically, what I'm actually doing is I use a Google calendar. And
I've heard of this Google before.
Yes, I use the Google machine. and I put in all of the repeating things that are going to have on repeat calendar, like weekly or daily, that are part of my day regardless. So for an example, I coach the 8:30 class every day. So that's just that's an obvious one. That's just my calendar every day. Yep. I work out every day at 6:30. That is in my calendar and nothing takes it over. Like it doesn't get removed for anything. I have, so those are like the two things that are like just set in stone. Mm-hmm. And then I have, my meetings. So I have this podcast mm-hmm. every, Tuesday at 1:00, we do this podcast. So that's in there. And then there's the other appointments that I have, whether it's a chiropractic thing or it's a meeting with my coaches that are just set in stone. Yep. So this is the obvious ones, right? Yep. Like everyone should have that. And yep. just like, they just there, those don't get moved at all. The other thing I do is the next thing I do is I create time for the things that are going to get walked on if I don't create time for them. So things like one Friday a month, I block it off to meet with one of my friends to talk about business development.
So even though maybe in the future you don't know exactly what restaurant or which friend,
it's blocked off.
It's blocked off there, and you know that
yes.
that's what it will be filled at some point.
Yes. With that. Yep. I have a lunch every about every 2-3 weeks with a friend that we do more business development stuff. And that's blocked off. I don't know where we're going, but that's blocked off as well. Mm-hmm. Then I have things like athlete development. So programming for my athletes, looking through their progressions, all that, that's blocked off. So that's something that like, as a person with no requirements for how I spend my time at all, like yourself, mm-hmm. it's one of the things that like I have to put in. Otherwise the phone call happens, social media happens. The person walking to my office happens. I need to want to go in. Like there's a lot of things that will come and override that. Then I have my own space for each one for business development. So things like should we be looking on a growth opportunity? We just recently bought the building that the gym is in. What should we be doing with that in terms of meeting with the town, the landscape, the growth opportunities, the restructuring, the classes, all that type of stuff. And then I have set open times that I allow people to come in for meeting time. Mm-hmm. And that's the flex time. Mm-hmm. The other really important thing I've found in reading, I reinforced, especially through, Greg McCown's yeah. essentialism
yep.
is creating buffers. So what I'll do is if I have for example, this Thursday, I have an appointment at a medical office which we should talk about sometimes. This is amazing. It's called LDA. It's low dose allergen shots. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about something. Okay, cool. It's amazing.
Never heard of that.
Basically, it'll cure every... we'll talk about it.
It'll cure every... No, I'm not going to talk about it now.
Crazy. So anyway, that's a half hour away.
Yep.
So instead of putting in my calendar that I have this appointment at 3:30, I put in that I have it at 3:30, but for the 45 minutes before, I put commute. Mm-hmm. Even though it only takes 20 minutes to drive there, yep. I block out 45 minutes beforehand to commute there. That way, if everything goes well and I'd sit there and when I get there, I can do some sort of thing on my phone, an email or social media post or something like that. But worst case, like I'm going to be stuck in traffic.
Exactly.
So I create these buffers in between. So meetings don't run end to end. There's a space in between all of them. And for this podcast, we just recently got good at that. It's all work in progress, right? Yeah. Like I'm not a rock star at any of this stuff. I'm mm-hmm. constantly trying to learn and develop. But I'm a lot better now than I was 5 years ago. And I hope in 5 years from now, I'm a lot better than I am today. Yeah.
It seems to be a very proactive approach to a day or a week or a month than a reactive approach. So sort of back to the original thing we talked about, where it can be easy to fill your calendar with things that you're reacting to, you know, whether it's you spend 2 hours answering emails,
yeah,
none of which really get you too right. much further.
So that's what fills in the blanks.
Yeah.
So in the spaces between all that stuff, that's where I'll check my email. Mm-hmm. That's where I'll jump on social media. That's where I'll have a conversation with somebody on the side. That's where I'll have the water cooler, you know, that type of thing. But what we're doing is we're plugging in the things that are going to move me towards my goals: business development, athlete development, health, the podcast, all those things that are like set, meeting with my friends to work on business development. All those things are set, and then the other stuff fills in behind it. It's, I'm going to butcher this trying to restate it, but Stephen Covey, I think in First Things First, goes into, so he wrote Seven Habits. Yep. He also wrote a book called First Things First, which is one of the habits. He wrote a whole book on one of the habits, mm-hmm. and he talks about the different iterations, I think it's him, the different iterations of time management. And it starts with people that just like get pulled in every direction. They wake up and they brush their teeth and they start cooking their eggs and they're on the phone and they're getting their kids dressed and they have the TV on in the background and they're just kind of like haphazardly doing things as they go. Mm-hmm. And that's step one. Step two is creating to-do lists. Like, I need to do this today. Step three is some sort of like a prioritized list, I think, on a weekly basis. And step four is beginning with the end in mind. How do I back into this? And that's where it's like, all of a sudden now you have freedom and, you know, your creativity can flow and all the rest. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the things that if you didn't set up your days and your weeks like that, that might show up and throw a monkey wrench into your sort of long-term plans. And so what I'm thinking about is what maybe we can call time wasters, mm-hmm. right? Or time sucks, whatever you want to call it. Where do you see those time sucks showing up? What form do they show up? How do you make sure that you outside of the calendar, how do you make sure you're combating against whatever those things are?
I love this. And it extends beyond kind of this productivity talk. It extends into like people like, I don't have the time to, right? People say,
yeah.
So like Heather, my wife, goes crazy when she hears her father say like, I would get in shape, but I don't have the time to do that. Like, the dude is retired, mm-hmm. And plays solitaire for like, without exaggerating, you know, like a couple hours a day. Mm-hmm. There's way more, everyone has 24 hours in a day. Now you could take, to get more done, you could do, in my take, you do one of probably a few different approaches. The first one is, if you want to get more done, you take the Elon Musk approach, which is you just work more. So instead of working 40 hours a week, you don't work, the really productive people work 80 hours a week. Well, he works 100 hours a week. That's like, if you're working 5 days a week, that's 20 hours a day, mm-hmm. right? That's insane. If you're working 7 days a week, it's like whatever that works out to, 17 hours a day. I haven't done the math, but 17 hours a day of work, 7 days a week. You haven't taken a shower, gone to the bathroom, cooked food, commuted, or anything yet. So that's the one approach. That's like the workaholic. That's the drive towards greatness. That's the no balance. That's one approach. If you want to get more done, you can do that. That's not my approach. Right. The other approach is kind of what we talked about already, which is you begin with the end in mind, you back your way into it. Let's create first things first and all the rest. And then you create the buffers and you create some freedom and some other time. And you can do it that way. The other way is you just eliminate the time sucks, mm-hmm. which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, I don't waste any time. Well, the average American, and it depends on what you look up, but the average American, some people say it's 5.5, some people say it's 4.5, some people say it's like 3.8. But according to, I think it's Wikipedia, says that the average American watches close to 5 hours of television a day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. 5 times 7 is 35. That's an entire...
You're not getting paid to watch television.
That's an entire work week people are spending watching TV. That's a huge time suck. It's a huge... So again, like busy versus productive, right? So like That's a enormous, really easy one. Now, to the credit, the younger generation, the 20-year-olds watch way, way less than the older generation. The older generation, the people in their 60s, watch way more than that, upwards of almost double. It's like 6 or 7 hours. Yeah. Whereas the younger generation is only watching like 2 or 3. But, dot, 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 yeah. They're spending way more time on screens, yeah, on social media and the other stuff. So first place I would go towards is TV, because yep, it's the easiest thing in the world. We, in my family, the TV does not go on during the week at all, period. We don't watch TV at, like, literally at all, period, unless it's Monday night or Friday night or Thursday night football. Yeah. We like to watch football, and on the weekends, mm-hmm, the kids wake up to Saturday morning cartoons, you know, Paw Patrol and Blaze and all that stuff. Now,
no idea what those are, but
one you day will, because you have an infant. Right. You'll know within the next 2 years, yeah, for sure. So during the weekends, we watch TV. During the week, nothing at all except for Monday night or Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. And then if the Bruins are in the playoffs or something like that, we watch some sports.
Yeah.
From there, it's the other screen time. So the kids on social media. So here's like a hack, and if parents want to do this, and they should do it themselves, everybody should go through this exercise. So I'm going to say it slowly. I don't even know how to do it on an iPhone. If you go on your iPhone, you go into settings, and you click on battery. A screen will pop up. You scroll down to the bottom, and it will say how much all the different apps that you use and what percentage of battery all of those use. That's not the interesting point. If you flip it over to time, so instead of percentage of battery, flip over to actual time, it'll tell you how much time you spent. You can do it in 24 or less week. How much time have you spent in the last week on different apps? And it is shocking. Mm-hmm. It is, I don't think I spend that much time on things. And I spend like 3 or 4 hours a week on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I'm the guy that feels like I don't spend any time on it. My daughter spends closer to 10, 11, or 12 hours on Instagram, and then they'll do another 3 or 4 on Snapchat. Now, there is a caveat to this, which is if your business is tied to it. So in my business is like Katrin. Mm-hmm. Katrin, a lot of her, she's a personal brand. So she spends north of 10 hours a week, but I would give an asterisk next to that, yeah, for sure. My daughter in high school, now in college, no, there's no passes for that, yeah, one, right? Yeah. And for Snapchat, there's no pass for that one. Total time sucks. At the end of your life, you get no credit for being on social media. Yeah. Like you're not gonna look back and be like, you know, fulfilled life. Yes, I had a great family. I had a great business. I was healthy. And thank God I spent 15 hours a week on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work that, yeah, way.
One thing just to add to that, because we've talked about that a little bit before, and after we did the first time, I found an app called Moment that effectively, like, it does the thing that you're explaining or that you're talking about, but then it actually shows you, sort of, it tracks over time, so you can see your trends. Oh,
super cool.
Like, if you know, so over the last
I spent 15 hours the first week, 12 yeah, the next week, 9 the next time, see how I'm making progress.
And it actually, it'll prompt you to, like, you've been on your phone too much today or stuff like
that. So we've actually done this in family meetings, yeah, where we're like, okay, everybody, pull out your phones. Yeah. And let's go see and go around the circle and tell how much time you said on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that lasted three weeks. Yeah. Yeah. Instagram, they figured it out, right?
Yeah.
They know, like, the dopamine response and how to get you to that hormonal, like, I want more. I want to see the likes. I want to see the next screen, the instant gratification. Mm-hmm. They're smart. Mm-hmm. They're really smart. So to me, the big ones for time wasters is TV, social. You can lump that all together in terms of screens. And the other one is commuting. Mm. So people lose a lot of their life driving to and from places. Now, some of that might be outside of your control. Again, I don't think it is. I think you can change that and move. I think you can relocate. I think you can work from home. You're not a slave to the world. The world is a slave to you. You can control it. You can mold it. It's a ball of clay. But let's say in the short term, you are commuting. So the average commuter in Boston commutes 29 minutes, mm-hmm, which is an hour a day, to and from. So 29 minutes to work, 20 minutes from work. That's an hour a day. Essentially, what you could do every single day is, instead of listening to sports radio or Top 40 or that talk show, is you could take a college course. Every single day, you could be taking a college course. If you did that 5 days a week, that's more than what a college course is. That's 5 credits, essentially. That's most college credits are like 4 hours mm-hmm. a week or something. You could do more than that. But it's a matter of choosing to be productive rather than reactionary. And what I really want to do, I just want to zone out. I just want to like listen to junk. I just want to listen to gossip on the radio. I want to like be entertained by the music. I want to just like listen to what's happening in the sports world. I just want, it's pushing that aside. Instead, reading some nonfiction, taking literally taking a e-course that mm-hmm. is an audio file that you can listen to. Yep. You can preach. If you did that, it's that law of marginal gains, right? It's the aggregation of marginal gains where if you did that over the course of a month, if you chose to better yourself by, you know, listening to some sort of like productive nonfiction, like whether it's you're going to learn a marketing course mm-hmm. and I choose to listen to sports radio, after a difference of a month, there's no difference between the two of us. For the course of 6 months, now you're on course number three or four. And I really know what the batting average is of the Los Angeles Angels. Yeah. There might be a little bit of difference.
Yeah.
Over 6 years, we are now in a different spot. Mm-hmm. We are like, imagine two twins that decide to do this. It's, by the way, it's the same way that like health works. Mm-hmm. At 3 o'clock, one twin, right? Same genetics and they're working the same place, doing all the same stuff. One twin goes for the cookie jar. The other twin decides to go have an apple mm-hmm. or even better, like go down the stairs, go to the local farmer's market, buy an apple, walk back. Like over the course of a month, no change. Over the course of 6 months, maybe mm-hmm. 6 years, they're different people. Mm-hmm. So if you eliminate screen time, both through social and through, forget eliminate, if you reduce right? Yeah. Like you don't have to be a robot. But if you drastically reduce those two things, you know, try and cut it back from, you know, 11 hours on Instagram to three, and trying to cut it back from the 35 hours of TV to six. Well, you just create a whole nother work week. You could open up a side business. And now if your commute becomes productive, well, you just changed everything. Yep. Like you, the amount of stuff that you're going to learn and grow from and become over the next course of the next 1, 3, 5, 6 years, you can't compete with your other former self.
Yeah.
Your other former self couldn't compete with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All that being said, what are some of your favorite ways to waste time? Or maybe better said, what are some things that you, other, so you mentioned football or, you know, sport, like
we watch sports,
yeah.
Mostly on the weekends. Thank God. Like that's when football is. But again, like, you know, we watch sports, time sucks that I'll do, time wasters is, I do Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's always funny we put two do's together. But I do Instagram. My business is there and I get sucked into other stuff. What I do though, is I try and give myself an audit. Where every month or two, I just go into my list of things that I'm following and I try and keep it underneath 100.
Mm.
So, because I would like to go through it until it says, you are now caught up. I really like to do that. Yeah. I like to be caught up. It's another way that they've got you hooked.
You follow 2,000.
So if I'm following 1,400 people, like there's no way I'm going to do that. So I try and keep it 100. I think right now, actually, I'll just pull up my phone and actually do this. I'm going to do it right now. Because I've been following a bunch more because I'll tell you what my next time suck is. I'm at 101.
Hmm.
101. So I try and keep it under 100.
Awesome.
And the reason I'm kind of close to that, I was at like 87, is my next time suck is I like...
It's quite a pause.
Because I'm realizing as I'm saying it that I do watch TV besides sports.
Yeah.
If Heather's out with the girls or something, I'm babysitting, I watch nature shows with the kids. So like National Geographic, like Planet Earth, Blue Planet, the dude with the British accent that's so good at narrating it. I love that stuff mm-hmm. where they show like the school of fish getting attacked by the dolphins and the swordfish and the tuna. And then the birds come in and, or they'll show like, you know, the mountain goats running away from, the snow leopards in the mountains of the Himalayas. So that's a time suck for me, but
it's interesting because you do it with your kids. So it's, actually not.
If my kids weren't there, I would still do it.
Okay. So I'm trying to give you credit. But,
yeah,
you know.
No, I love it. I really like it a lot.
Awesome.
So I watch nature shows and that's why I'm following like places. I follow Our Planet. I'm following like National Geographic. I'm following this new one called Nature is Metal.
It's like M-E-T-A-L?
Like metal, like metal, like metal, like hard rock.
Okay.
Like, gotcha. In terms of like, it's like how animals kill other animals. And it's like, I've never seen this on Instagram, but they put up a filter over it.
Yeah. If it's sensitive, if yes. people have complained about it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So you have to click on it and yeah. it's like, those are the ones that you're like, holy shit. It'll be like a lion, like eating like an, yeah. like those ones I can't do, but yeah. most of them are like pretty cool.
Yeah. Joe Rogan posts a lot of that or posts that stuff like that often.
So, so that's a big one. So sports, and nature shows, I like what looking at like places and stuff like that. That's it. What do you do for time wasters? Maybe you can
Very, very similar. I think I probably watch a little bit more TV than that. I try to stay off social, but that some days are better than
I'm addicted others. To social. Yeah. I know it's because my business yeah. pulled me into it.
Yeah.
If I wasn't, I hate being addicted to things. So if it weren't for my business, I would cut it off. I would just totally cut it. Yeah. And I would love to live free from it.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm addicted to it. Yeah. Like before I go to bed at night, I have to scroll and get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that.
Yeah. We've talked about a little bit. I think I probably pay more attention to the news than is truly useful. Mm. I think that that's one thing that if I can catch myself, I'll recognize yeah. it. But sort of at the end of the day, I sometimes find myself just like doing that for 30 minutes before bed.
Yeah. I've tried really hard to like, to turn my entertainment into education.
Yeah.
That's exactly. I think that's a really profound shift for a lot of people is if you can, because I love what I do. I really, really love it. If I was a computer programmer and I had to learn about, oh man, forget it. I can't even say it. DOS? I don't even know. Like, is that something?
Maybe in the 90s.
Yeah, that's why yeah. I took computer programming. It was yeah. in college. So if I had to learn that stuff,
yeah.
I would hate education. I would hate yeah. it. But because I love what I do,
yeah. doesn't feel like work.
It doesn't feel like work. So I've just turned it into, so like I'll watch a documentary like Hero Dreams of Sushi.
Yep.
Like, and that's amazing about this entrepreneur who he's the best in the world at what he does. Like that's fascinating to me. Yep. I'll watch a movie like Fed Up about the nutrition. It's fascinating to me. I'll watch like the New Zealand All Blacks. And like, so that's not a time waster because I then use that yeah. literally the next day in my business about like, you know, I'll read about, I'll read about Bezos and you know how he's created Amazon and I love that and like I read about Steve Jobs and watch like I'll watch a movie Jobs yep. or you know and yep. to me that's like I'm entertained but I love that and to the point where like I can't I know other people love them I can't do superhero movies at all
me neither
I can't do them because it's fantasy to me
yeah.
and I can't maybe I'm just not. I don't understand it enough because I know some people are really into it and they draw the parallels to real life and they do it. I'm not creative enough, I guess, or invested enough to be able to do that. If it can't move me forward, I just don't get that entertained by it mm-hmm. to a point where if a movie isn't really funny, if it's just sort of funny, I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get through it because yep. I'm like, I'm wasting my time here.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is like, I talk about like, I feel like I'm trading time. I say that for a real reason because I'm 41 years old. The average male American lives to 78. That means I have, so 31 years left. Well, no, 37 years left. 37 years left. I have 37 years left. If that sounds like a long time until you say it like this, I have 37 summers left.
Hmm. Yep.
Like what? So what am I going to do this summer? Because I only have 36 after that. And I only have 37 winters left. Okay, what am I going to do this winter? Because I only have that money left. Well, all of a sudden, then you become like, crunch time becomes right. really yeah. quick. There's 84,000 seconds in a day. How are you using up these couple hundred? Because after a while, this one's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have 365 of those till that summer is gone. Now you're moving on. Like, Heather really drilled this into me early in our marriage, not personally sit me down, but yep. like, every day had to matter. Every day had to matter. You make every day matter where you get to the end and you're like, that was a great day.
Mm.
Like you have to be able to do that.
Yep.
And she'll look and like, she'll like, if there's, you know, a conflict of schedule, it's like life or death for her. It's like a huge event. If our family can't be together at one of our kids' games, it's like, what? She's like, what are we going to do? Like, yeah. How do we do this? Like, yeah. What are we going to do? Or if one of us has to travel and the other person isn't going with them, it's like, how do we figure this out? It's like, because she realizes how important and magnified today is. Mm-hmm. It's all that matters. And this is if I live average. So I hope I live longer. I hope that my health and my lifestyle gets me to longer than that. But I should also assume that like there's the bus or there's the thing that I don't see that's going to hit me. Yep. And it might be way less than that.
Yeah.
It just makes every moment matter so much. And if you think about that, like, why am I going to let today skip away? Prioritize everything so you're accomplishing when you get to that day where it says, this is the end of your life. Look back. How'd you do? You don't know when that's going to happen. You got to be like, yes, fulfillment. Got it. Because I did this every day.
Let us end it there.
Cool. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. In the next episode of Chasing Excellence.
But what we are doing is we are throughout the year, constant, every day, every training day is a day for us to hone in and practice our nutrition. And we talk about it.
Just search for Chasing Excellence wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. And thanks.